because there's an interval of at least a week in between these lessons, I feel like I need to do just a quick focus back where we get our minds going down the right track. But he's got a pretty full lesson for today. And I feel a great responsibility because I know that he's taking us into the fulfillment of what he asked Dave, or commanded Dave, however you want to say it, Dave's commission, his blueprint, to take a group of people far enough into God to bring the supernatural back to the church and manifestation in this day, so that the Tommy Perez's and the ones, all of the ones that have no hope in this world, they have hope in God. All things are possible. And that the fulfillment of what Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And I think he was as serious as he could be about that. So I have a responsibility to not, yes sir, I saw a vision. Well, now that, don't get weird on me. I mean, these are just little guides. He speaks in pictures, okay? He speaks in pictures, call it whatever. But I saw again, as Dave would describe for us, see, that's the roof thing that we're after. We're after this thing where every time we pray, every one of them gets healed. Say it with me, calling in the lost. First time, every time, no exceptions. That's the way he did it. That's the way he's going to do it again. So he's getting us to that place. But the little picture I saw was Dave teaching us that, okay, that's the roof question. But he can't really give us that roof until you've laid the foundation, and then you've got to build the walls, and they've got to come up uniformly. Line upon line, precept upon precept would be a good way to say that, until he can do that. So my job, I have to be careful not to run ahead and not to skip lessons, you know. It's hard to do calculus if you never had algebra. And that makes sense. You know, it's hard to do algebra if you never learned your one plus one equal twos, you know. So this lesson today, I know, is on the path. I believe it's in the correct sequence. Because where we're going is exactly where Jesus told Dave to take us. And that's far enough into God. And I don't mean just the preachers. We're coming into the day of Joel's army. Or it's, I mean everybody, okay. So the review, let me just say this. He showed us this wall of fire. And to me, it was just very simple, very clear. There's no way going forward from where we are. How many of you are glad that we've come this far? Amen. I'm glad I'm not still in the bars. I'm glad I'm not still, hooked on alcohol and other things. I thank God for I thank God for where he's brought us. But he showed me this wall of fire in front of us, and it's like, it's real obvious to me. I mean, there was no going around it. There was no going over it. There's no going under it. The only way forward is through that wall of fire. And we have scripture for that. That's Matthew 3. You don't need to turn there. If you want to turn somewhere, turn to Luke 4. Just one verse. Then you can be putting your finger over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. But in Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. Now he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, many of us have been baptized in the Holy Ghost for a long time, but I'm not sure we have allowed the fire. You know, to be baptized in fire, isn't that to be completely immersed in it? What's the purpose of heating gold in the fire? Isn't it to remove the impurities out of the gold? So, the next verse, verse 12, he says, talking about this one that's coming, Jesus, we know it's Jesus, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So through many prophecies that's been coming forward as the present hour mind of the Lord, he is telling us things like, complete the purging process. Way I put it one time, I said, it's one thing to stick your finger in the wall of fire. Ow! And many people pray until the ugly comes. And you go, I'm not like that. And we all go, yeah, you are. You're just now seeing it. We've known it for years. Love you anyway. It's one thing to stick your finger in the fire. It's another thing to stand in that furnace and be purged. But he is going to thoroughly, you look that word up, it's thoroughly, completely, nothing left, no impurities. Okay. Now with that thinking in mind, Luke 4. I said go to Luke 4. Because there's a sequence that I never quite saw before. I mean, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost the day he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. Okay, the same day he got baptized in water, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've taught on that. You've read that. How the Holy Spirit came down in a form and remained on him. He didn't come and leave like the prophets in the Old Testament, but he came to abide. He came to dwell. So right there is Jesus, but that's an event, a timeline. There he is, baptized with the Holy Ghost. But then there's something in between that occurrence and Luke 4, verse 14, where it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, before this, he got baptized in the Spirit. But this is the first time it says anything about the power of the Spirit. So what happened in between? In between the baptism and returning in the power of the Spirit? Well, that's the temptation in the wilderness. And I hate to tell you this part, that's the fasting. I heard a groan from... There's a fasting in preparation for that, see? You know? Because in the way it's written in the Word, we're given three temptations. But Pastor Dave taught us eloquently. Listen, those three, that's a summary of everything. He was tempted in every point like we are. Those three are like a summary of what the devil threw at him. I mean, he tried everything. The devil turned the first Adam, didn't he? Didn't he? He managed to defeat the first one. I'm sure he's thinking, I'm going to defeat this one also. He threw everything he had at Jesus. But Jesus, now I'm going to put it in prayer center language that we all understand. We could say it another way. He was being tempted. Why? The devil was looking for handles. He was looking for impurity in the gold. Could I find anything here where I can defeat this one the same way I defeated the first one? That's what's going on there. The trying by fire to see if there's any handles in Jesus. Any way, any stronghold, anything where I can turn him away from the will of God the same way I turned the first one. Thank God the last Adam passed. He succeeded. He conquered where the first Adam failed. Now thank God he told us to pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. How many are glad about that? But see, that doesn't mean that the devil's going to leave you alone. It doesn't mean you're going to walk into revival with 16 handles. I'm going to give Pastor Bronk credit for this one time. Just this once. Enjoy it, Bronk. This is it. We don't have time to really go here today. But Joshua, the whole book of Joshua, is where they're tearing down strongholds. It's a type and shadow of everything in you that doesn't think like God, everything in you that loves other things than God. Ites, can I say ites? All the different ites. And I never quite noticed it. I'd read it, but I just hadn't noticed it. Bronk says there's one chapter in Joshua where it just lists these kings that were defeated, and there were 31 of them. Now, that's a type and a shadow. Yeah, I quit smoking. Good. That's one. I quit cussing. Oh, good for you. That's two. Doggone that Bronk. He got it first. There might be a few ites, is the point. 31, that's a type and a shadow. There's more than just a thing or two here. But he will thoroughly purge his floor if we stand in that furnace of purging. Well, how do you do that? Prayer, fasting, the Word, worship. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Because we want to return in the power of the Spirit. John G. Lake, almost 100 years ago, he saw something that disturbed him. He said, I'm beginning to see something in the body of Christ that's concerning to me. This is almost 100 years ago. He said, I'm seeing people that can be, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They can speak with tongues, but they don't have any power. Was that prophetic? That's not the lesson for today, but God's fixing that. I'm just telling you right now. We're going to not only speak with that, thank God for speaking with other tongues, but I think the Lord's ready for us to return in the power of the Spirit. So these lessons, this is the next one on the trail that he's given me. It's not my job to choose. It's not my job to skip over it. My job is to do what he's showing. I believe this is another stone in your wall that you're going to need, that we're all going to need, in order for him to lay that roof answer on us. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now, the title I put on this, we may put a different title on the message. The title I put on it is God Dwells with Men on Earth. See, and that's always been God's plan. If you go all the way back to Genesis, God created Adam out of love, didn't he? God is love. He wanted to make a being that was in his class, not an animal, but a spirit, an eternal creature that had the life of God on the inside of him. God gave him work to do, but God loved Adam and wanted to come in fellowship with him and talk with him. I've tried to picture. Of course, it's hard to, we live in a fallen world. It's hard to know what that world really was like. But I've tried to picture God coming and just walking with Adam in the cool of the day. How's it going? Well, going pretty good. How's it going with you? Oh, it's going real good. I don't know, but I do know that there was love, fellowship. It was always God's plan to dwell with man and fellowship with us on earth. And that hasn't changed. He loves you. But getting back to our type and shadow here, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now, this is when Solomon had, they've completed building the temple. And they built it according to the design that was given. It's a fabulous thing. They're dedicating the temple is what's going on in this verse. But let's read here, because Solomon asked a really good question. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? So at God's command, he has built this temple. It's massive according to human standards. It's beautiful beyond compare. If you read about what Solomon built, it's amazing. But Solomon had a revelation of God that was, he's looking at that and he's going, that building can't hold you. Why are you having us do this? I know that even the heaven of heavens can't contain you. Why would you have me build a house for you when I know you can't fit in the house? It's a good question, isn't it? Now that phrase this time when I was going through there where it says in very deed, see how that's worded, but will God in very deed? That phrase stood out to me, so I looked up the word deed. And it means an action that is performed intentionally or consciously. See, it's not like breathing. You do know that you don't send a conscience signal to your lung every time a minute or two. Breathe, breathe, breathe. See, that's an action subconscious. This is an action conscious. God did this on purpose. He's saying it is an action that is performed intentionally or consciously. Now, that's important to remember. A deed is an action, and it is an action that is done on purpose. Now, notice it. A deed is something that actually happens. It's not a good intention. You see the difference? There's a big difference, too. I'm going to lose weight and showing up at the gym. One's a theory, one's a deed. Okay. Angie and I found out a horrible thing. We joined a gym this is going to be our fifth year in January. We found out joining didn't help. We found out we actually had to go. And then we found out once we got there, we had to do stuff. It's more than I'm going to lose weight. Well, what Solomon's saying, this is more than I'm going to dwell with men. I'm going to dwell with men. He's going, really? In actual deed, can this happen? Okay. So Solomon knew that God is omnipresent. He's too big to be contained in the house, the temple that he has built. So he's asking this question, will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? And the answer is yes. It was always God's plan. Even though God is omnipresent and cannot be contained within any vessel, now yet his presence, now catch that word, his presence, and I put a parenthesis for myself, also called his glory later in the passage that we're going to read some more. His presence, also called his glory, so filled the temple that Solomon built that the priests at one point couldn't even enter it. Can you imagine coming up to the door? Bump, bump. I can't get in. I'm bumping into something. What are you bumping into? God. Can't get in the door. It's full of God. Let that picture. You do know you're the house of God, right? He wants to so fill you, nothing else can get in. Feet, you got to stay here because we got to preach. My feet are already wanting to run. It's so good. Now we're going to read here in a minute that when the 120 priests blew the trumpet and the praise and the worship came up from that temple, it says the ministers at that point could not stand up. They couldn't stand. And it says, for the glory of the Lord, you could say the presence of the Lord, had filled the house of God. Let me say it in this way. God came in his presence. Can I say it this way? God moved in. So we're in 2 Chronicles. Back up to chapter 5 for a moment. Let's get this type in shadow. It's so important. 2 Chronicles 5:12. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar. And with them, now get this, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now get this. So then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory, you could say the presence of the Lord, had filled the house of God. 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Does that remind you of anything in the New Testament? Do you think there's a chance in that is coincidence, that there were 120 believers speaking with other tongues in the upper room, and God, the Holy Ghost, came in the house, and on each one of them came a flame, a tongue of what? Fire. Feet. Are you seeing this? When you're speaking, when we gather together as a group and we're praying in tongues and worship and praise is going up out of us, we're sounding with trumpets and God is filling the house collectively and God is filling your house individually. Don't stop praying in tongues. The presence of God, like a cloud, fills you up. Pretty soon nothing else can even get in there. It's you, God, that's it. And I'll tell you right now, previews of coming lessons, God's presence will even saturate your clothes. On the Mount of Transfiguration, that glory, they got to see what was going on. The life on the inside was not only in His spirit, through His soul, through His body. It said His clothes shone like the brightness of the sun. No wonder they could touch the hem of His garment and get healed. God in my clothes, God in your clothes. And that will go on previews of coming attractions. With Peter, it got so strong it went beyond the clothes. If he just got in shadow length, God had smack healing on you as Peter went by. Wham! You're healed. Wham! You're healed. Woo! Oh, sorry. I'm glad I come to church today. Glory to God. Isn't this something? So let me read this so I don't want to leave any sentence out. 120 priests sounding with trumpets and the glory of God filled the house. There's no way on earth that is a coincidence that there were 120 people in the upper room praying in other tongues the very day that God came and filled the house and filled each one of them individually and with fire. It looked like each one of them had been baptized in their own fire. It's such so like the picture I saw of each one of us as a candle, but suddenly we're in this tornado of fire and it happened on each and every one of them. Forget that little painting that somebody did with a little candle coming out of the top of their head. They got baptized in a tornado of fire. That's why it said it's a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. We're in Oklahoma. You ever heard a tornado? Don't sound like no cricket. You think a freight train is bearing down on you? Oh, the Holy Ghost. They returned. We're going to return with power. The power of the Spirit now. Tired of playing church. I'm talking about me. As you spend time speaking in tongues and in worship, the glory of God fills the house of God. You already know you're the temple of the living God. You are the house of God. What wonderful types and shadows God has given us for those who have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is the very promise that God made. Now go New Testament now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Having a good time myself. So 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Let's stop for a moment. Let's drive it home. Put your hand on your heart. See, collectively we are the temple of God, but individually. Put your hand on your heart. I am the temple of God. I am the house of God. And I'm telling you right now, this house is a house of prayer. Amen. Amen. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Why say it? He wants you to get the picture. He goes where you go. He's not just with you here in church. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Boy, we sure see it with Peter's shadow. His presence not only so filled Peter up, can I say spirit, soul, body, clothes, and shadow length. Couldn't get within shadow length without getting healed. Whoops, got healed. Got too close to a believer. He said we're going to look back on these days and just laugh that we ever thought it was so hard. How do you get him healed? I walk by. My shadow falls. We got to believe this. What is your method for healing the sick? I walk by. But I spend so much time praying in tongues and worship. I spend so much time with the Father. He loves me. He can't help it. He can't help it. Remember, David would say, he can't help himself. He can't help himself. He loves you. He'll fill you. He'll so fill you. Saturate your clothes. Saturate the atmosphere around you. You just walk by and they get healed. Wouldn't that be something in the children's hospital? I'm trying to teach and not preach, but man, this stuff, this heats my chili. Woo! Get excited. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. But now notice, if you want to see the wall of fire, wherefore, because of that promise, come out from among them. And be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now notice, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Previews of coming attractions. I'm going to get your mind thinking here for a minute. Who dwells in us? And our first response always, well, Christ. And that's true. Isn't that right? Christ dwells in us. Amen? But notice the promise. If you look at that 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I will be a what? This is a promise of the Father. God the Father. Later on we'll get to John 17. I and them. Jesus saying, I and them. Father, thou and me. You got to understand. God the Father dwells in you. See how quiet it gets right there? If we ever get that revelation, what's going to be impossible? See? Okay. That's all coming. We'll get there. But the promise here, he says, I will be a father unto you. So who dwells in us? Christ? Yes. But notice the promise in that verse says, I will be a father unto you. This is the promise of the Father. It's the fulfillment of the type and shadow in Solomon's day. God in very deed, by purposeful action, has come to dwell not only with man, but in man. Remember Jesus saying, you know the Holy Spirit, he's been with you, but he shall be in you. Remember that phrase, the promise of the Father. It's going to be very important to you in coming weeks. The promise of the Father. Just kind of make a mental note. Can't get there today. Now, come out from among them and be you separate. Let's look at a type and shadow from the Old Testament of that. Go back to 2 Chronicles again. You know, if you're in my, you should have done your Bible finger exercises before you got here. You know there's going to be a lot of verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, look at 14. This is a very familiar verse, but it's part of the promise. This is really the Old Testament type and shadow of the wall of fire. 2 Chronicles 7:14. So to me, I wrote above this verse we're about to read, this is a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost in fire. It's a type and shadow of he will thoroughly purge his floor. It's a type and shadow of repentance. It's a type and shadow of mortification. Everything that we teach along that line really is contained in this one verse. What a verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, not the world, quit. Let's not so much worry about the world cleaning up its act. He's not talking to us about them right now. He's talking to us about us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Is that not called repentance? And if you underline or circle or do anything, you should mark the word then. 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 What do you mean then? After you've humbled yourself. After you've spent time in prayer. Seeking his face, not his hand. Seeking his face, get to know him, and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. That's real repentance. That's not Friday night, pack your repentance pills. Repentance, as Dave would say. Real repentance. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Would you say our land needs to be healed? Well, I do. All right. Go over to 1 John for a moment. 1 John chapter 4. Because we're talking, the subject is God dwelling in us. And I mean God dwelling in us. I mean God. What if I said God the Father? See, Christians have almost gotten numb to the phrase Christ in us now. It's almost powerless. Because everybody says they have that. But if I tell them, yeah, but what if God the Father lived in you? Oh, well. But Jesus said, Christ, I in them, thou in me. See? 1 John chapter 4, let's start in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected, made mature in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. Now notice, hereby know we that we dwell in him, but now notice, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now that's a long verse, but a long passage. If you lift verse 15 out by itself, which I've heard done recently, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. See, if you just lift that verse out by itself, don't leave it in the context, you can have all kinds of error with it. Now, for example, every verse has to be left in its context. That statement by itself, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Did you know that the devils knew who Jesus was? Remember, the devil says, I know who thou art, the Holy One of Israel. He might as well have said, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. I know who you are. But they most certainly did not love Jesus. They most certainly, devils do not keep the commandments of Jesus. He that dwelleth in love, excuse me, lost my place. Devils do not obey the commandments of Jesus. And let me just tell you, okay, this is revelation. I know you're glad you came. God does not dwell in devils. Amen. Just because they say Jesus is the Son of God. No, you got to leave it in its context. So where did John get that lesson? Well, he got it from Jesus himself. So now let's look over at John 14. Big John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14, that's here. Here where John got that lesson. He got it from Jesus himself. So John 14, starting in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So if you go back to 1 John and you read that whole passage, you'll find out God dwells in people that love him. How do you know you love him? It's one thing to say you love him. I know. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. How do we know that you love him? Well, you do his commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. It's not good enough to just know them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. So Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, he said it, it's like Jane see the ball. He's saying it again. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Notice, and we, not just me, we will come into him. And notice, this is so important, make our abode with him. That means we came to stay. We came to move in. Just in case you missed it, verse 24, he says, Jane, see the ball. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, you remember our lessons on 1 John? Most of you have been through that 21 lesson series. What was going on at the time? There was a whole group that had been group of men that had been traveling with John, but now they're not traveling anymore. And John lays it out line by line through his letter why. They wanted the world and Jesus too. They were not willing to come out and be separate. That's why that lesson's in there. Love not the world, neither the things in the world, for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life are not even of the Father. But these men wanted both. Wanted to have God and have their sin also. Can I say it that way? No. Many so-called Christians confess that Jesus is the Son of God, but they do not love him. Gary, that's very judgmental. It's not judgmental for me to say what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you have my word but you don't keep it, you don't love me. And that's how we know. They do not keep his commandments. They don't really love God. I did one of the lessons in that 1 John series, I think it is. Yes. Is Christian idolatry. And they have made a Jesus in an image they want him to be, where they can they love that Jesus who somehow condones their sin. But that's not Jesus. Anyway, they don't really love God. They say they are Christians. This is a hard statement. I wrote and I typed and deleted and typed and deleted this sentence I don't know how many times. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let me leave it out. They say they are Christians, but God does not dwell in them. Now that's a hard saying. But that's really the lesson of 1 John. He says, here how you know the children of God and the children of the devil. All who confess that just say Jesus is the Son of God, they're not really born again. Those devils said Jesus was the Son of God. They're not born again. But those who truly confess Jesus is the Son of God and demonstrate their love by keeping his commandments, for the love of God is in them, and God himself, as Solomon would say, in very deed, by purposeful action, is in them. So now let's go back to Solomon's original question. Will God in very deed dwell with men on earth? Not only will God live with you, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, and if you have humbled yourself to obey his word, God is in you. That's the promise of the Father. I will dwell in you, and I will walk in you. Hold your hand on your heart. I'm the house of God. I'm understanding better than ever. Christ is in me, and the Father is in me, because Christ is in me. God lives in me. I love God, and I keep his commandments. Not the external ones written in stone, but the ones written by love when he gave me a new nature. See, Pastor Dave, okay, let's go to John 17 now. I'll get to Pastor Dave in a minute. I was missing a paragraph. John 17. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest. Now, you all know this is the high priestly prayer where Jesus is praying directly to the Father. If there was ever a holy of holies on earth, if there was ever a prayer to be answered, it's God the Son praying to God the Father. Amen. And the glory, Jesus speaking, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. Here it is. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Pastor Dave taught us over and over again. I never heard any man break this verse before Pastor Dave broke it. Somebody may have, but he's sure the first one I ever heard it from. What is that glory? What is that glory? What is the glory that Jesus had from the Father that He has now given to us? It is the glory of sonship. He has given us the standing of a son. He has made it possible for His Father to become our Father. When He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, it wasn't some mansion up in heaven like we've been taught. I wrote it this way. Jesus has prepared a room for you now in the Father's house. It's not a servant's quarters. It's a room for a son. It's a room for a son. Same glory that Jesus had, the standing He had as the Son of God. Now He has given us that same glory. And we are the children of God. We have a room in the Father's house. Guess what? He has a room inside of you. And it's the Holy of Holies where Jesus came in. That's the next lesson we'll get to. See, no man can have God as his Father without first receiving the Son. For God to be your Father, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God. And I wrote it this way. You must go from being of the species of the first Adam to becoming part of the species of the last Adam. That's really only two species that are on planet Earth. Those born of the first Adam. Those born of the last Adam. Jesus said the first is born of flesh. But the second is born of the Spirit. You don't have to turn there. You know this verse. 1 John 5 verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now that tells you that all humans on planet Earth are not born of God. They are a creation of God, but they're not the children of God. God is their creator, not their father. Here's some verses for you on that. In fact, let's go ahead and look at this. Turn to Galatians. It's so important. Galatians 3:26. I remember this is so important because in the early days, I remember we were driving to Florida to do a meeting down there, and there was a real popular song, and so they had these billboards just every few miles, and on those billboards, it had every color of human that there is on earth, you know, white, black, tan, brown, round-eyed, slanty-eyed, yellow, every ethnic group in the world practically was there, and the caption was, "We are all the children of God," and that is the devil's gospel. telling you that's what the devil wants mankind to believe, because if that's the case, Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. But anyway, so that billboard says we are all the children of God. But look at Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus meant when he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. You have to receive me first. I'm going to say it in another way. We'll do this more in another lesson. Jesus is your Holy of Holies. Nobody gets good enough to receive the Holy Spirit. Nobody gets good enough on the, you know, they don't clean up their act good enough to receive God. So God had to do something supernatural for us. Through the new birth, he creates a spirit on the inside of you that is holy. Ephesians 4 says that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. When you receive Jesus, there's a new space, a new spirit on the inside of you that is holy. And that the type and shadow from the Old Testament, that's where God dwells. And he starts working on you from the inside out. And he starts working on that mind. And then he works on the flesh. Well, both of them at once. But if he can keep shining and shining and shining, I'm telling you, it can get into your body. John G. Lake had this revelation 100 years ago. He said, listen, God wants to save your spirit. He wants to save your soul. He wants to save your body. The same life that saves your spirit heals your body, and it's already in you. It'll get in your outfit. What you're wearing. Then it'll get in your shadow. What that means is a presence. Oh, my Lord. I about convinced myself to go pray in tongues. And I thank God for the ones that are coming more. Where I'm telling you, God's calling us not to... I mean, thank God for private praying. Pray at home, yes. Pray in your car. Pray when you're doing the laundry. But there is a calling right now for corporate prayer. I want to encourage you again about Wednesday night prayer. Friday prayer from noon till 10 o'clock. Saturday prayer from 7 in the morning till noon. Come get you some. It's good to be collective praying. No condemnation if you don't. Not from me. Anyway. He's working on me too. Thank God for that. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10 says, say, Gary, is there any way for us to know if you're a child of God or not? Yeah, sure is. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Well, what do you mean it's made manifest? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So if you tell me that you love God, but all the fruit on the tree, you know, Jesus said, look at the fruit on the tree. And if the fruit on the tree is you get drunk all the time, you're still involved in some kind of thievery, you're sleeping around on your spouse, if all that's still going on, I'm going, that fruit on the tree is not righteousness. I'm pretty sure you're not of God. What? You're judging me. I'm examining the fruit on the tree exactly like Jesus told me. I love him. No, you love a Jesus you've made up yourself. You have made an idol. You've broken the first commandment. You have bowed down to a false god. You've made a Jesus in your own image. And we're exactly told not to do that. One more while you're in 1 John. Go over to chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Now, we're not talking legalism. We're talking born again. Remember, Christ comes on the inside of you. When God writes that law in your heart, it really is the law of love, all right. But God is more than just love. I mean, you focus on just one attribute of God and think that's all he is. It does say God is love. You know what else it says? God is holy. Not any amens at all. You do know that those six winged creatures in Revelation, it gives the revelation of Jesus Christ, for all eternity, they do one thing. Holy, holy, holy. Don't tell me that's not an attribute of God. God is love. God is holy. I'll tell you something else. God is just. God is just. If he wasn't, Jesus didn't have to die. God purchased you legally. He paid the price for you. Somebody had to pay it. Thank God. God loved you enough to send his son. See that last one to me when it says when we love God and keep his commandments. You know that's just another way of talking about a renewed mind. When it says come out. Let's go there. Go to Romans 12. It's not in my notes, but it's good. Romans 12. Look at verses 1. See, when it says come out from among them and be you separate. This is how you do it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, meaning your body's not going to like this one little bit. You get that? A living sacrifice. Ow! With the lamb, it was over in just a moment. They cut its throat. With your body, it's a lifetime. Ow! Your body's not saved. It wants what it wants when it wants it. It don't care whether God likes it or not. A living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Your body, present it holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And here's come out from among them. Through that process, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Come out from among them. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that means walk out, that means in your daily life demonstrate that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For years and years, I thought a renewed mind was a mind that had the knowledge of God. But you can read Romans 1 and find out that's not true. It says, when they knew God, when they knew God, they did not honor him or respect him as God, neither were they thankful. In other words, they wanted what they wanted. We're not going to obey him. Well, they knew God. They had the knowledge of God. That's not a renewed mind. A renewed mind is not a mind just full of knowledge. It's a mind that has bowed to the will of Christ within. It is that conscience, that born again, green light, red light, this is okay, this is not okay. And beyond there, give your last $10 to that person. Yes, Lord, I trust you completely. It's a renewed mind is a mind that has a Lord. Oh, that's good right there. Be sure we get that. A renewed mind is a mind that has a Lord, that has bowed the knee. Not my will, but thine be done. That's a renewed mind. Yes, Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What would you have me do? That's a renewed mind. Boy, I'm liking that. I'm liking that. The very commandments written in our heart by the Spirit when we were born again. Now, even as I was sitting here, already at the church, I hand wrote a few things that he spoke to me. Do not be discouraged by looking around at the size of the attendance. Knowing what this message was, he said to me this. About that upper room, there were 120. Where were the 5,000? Where were the 5,000 that were fed? Let's go a little farther. Where were the thousands upon thousands that were healed in Jesus' meetings? They received healings, thousands of them. Where were the 500 that even after he was raised from the dead, it says he appeared to about 500 people? Where were they? See, we're told, goddamn, be careful now, get to you. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll do that. But thank God the ones that were there, how many of them did God move into? How many of them were filled? Every single one of them. You have God on the inside of you. Meditate on that. Think on that. Say it again. God, it's Christ in me, but it's the Father in me. The Father promised He would live in me and walk in me. How do I heal the sick? I walk near them. Because God's presence is so strong. It's gone even beyond my clothes. It's gone, my presence, just the presence, because I'm filled with the fullness of God. I remember Smith Wigglesworth, I'll close on this, one of his favorite hymns. Filled with God. Filled with God. Emptied of self. And filled with God. Oh, hallelujah. Say it one more time. I am the, put your hand on your heart. I am the house of God. I am the temple of God. I'm sounding the trumpet every time I spend time praying in other tongues. As I worship, pray in tongues, and just love on Him, His presence fills the temple. And it fills beyond my spirit, beyond my mind, even beyond my body, even beyond my clothes, so that His presence surrounds me, because He walks in me everywhere I go. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.